Hey, Smutters.
Hey.
How's your week?
I feel like we just did this.
Y'all, we just recorded a whole entire episode on a whole nother thing. And then when we got done, we were like, we don't like it. So I did some quick research and we changed the story completely. And we're redoing it 2 hours later. So...
during my show, actually.
Well, it's 1 o'clock. We're late. This thing should have already been out. So, how was your week?
Oh, it's been okay, Jan.
It's not my name.
What's your name right now?
Yes, our last episode, we did Father Gabriella Amort from The Pope's Exorcist, the new movie that just came out with Russell Crowe. And it's based on his life, actually. And it turns out Troy absolutely hated the episode. And I feel like it just didn't go how I wanted it to go. So we may just release that in the middle of the week as like a bonus episode or something. Because we just don't know how great it is. Because Troy hated it.
I mean, I hate it. It's just...
he just said it was very boring. I was just very long-winded about it, and there wasn't a lot going on in it. So we can just do it as a bonus episode. If y'all want to listen, you can. If you don't, that is fine, too. So what we're going to do tonight is we're doing a cryptid.
Yay!
Yay! And I saw Shark Week stuff today, which means it is summertime. And... Shark Week, y'all, if y'all do not know, is one of my absolute favorite things about summertime. I could, like, stay in the house for a whole week and do nothing but watch Shark Week. Like, that's my... I love it.
We actually did that once out of the country.
Yes, we did. We took a vacation. Where was it? Antigua?
Yep.
We went to Antigua, and Troy got really sick, and it was all-inclusive, so, like, I would run out and get us food, and we would sit in the hotel room and watch Shark Week, because he couldn't leave, and he felt so bad, but honestly, I was having the time of my life.
The only thing we actually got to do there was ride the
ATVs.
Did the excursion.
Yeah, we
that
were...
that was pretty cool, but...
some ATVs, and it was beautiful, and we had a blast, but, I loved what I was doing. I sitting in that nice air-conditioned room on the beach and watching Shark Week. You can't ask for anything better than that. So, anyway. Yes. So, do you have any idea what cryptid we're doing?
No, you haven't told me.
I know. I was going to see if you could get a good guess. It's a sea monster.
Is it the whale penis that everybody thinks it's about? Is Nessie?
We're not doing Nessie. We already did Nessie. We're actually going to do Champ.
Who?
Champ.
What's that?
Champ is in Lake Champlain. And he's basically Nessie's not as popular cousin, I guess you could say.
Red-headed stepchild?
Pretty much the redheaded stepchild of Nessie. While I was doing this quick research, I've always known about Champ and haven't thought a lot about it. I love Champ. Champ's wonderful. And they're getting a lot of evidence on Champ, as a matter of fact. And we're going to go through
now?
That. Huh?
What has he done now?
Oh, he hasn't done anything. He's just great. They've gotten, like, hardcore evidence for Champ.
Hardcore.
So, that may prove that there's actually something in there. So, I'm very excited about this. So, I know Troy is tired or he's wanting to watch his show. So, we're going to go ahead and dive on into this.
Dive on in.
And let's talk about Champ.
Let's talk about Champ, baby. Let's talk.
Okay. Now.
You know that song.
Oh, of course I do. Is there a prehistoric serpent monster lurking in the depths of Lake Champlain?
Of course there is.
Of course. Over the past centuries, there have been over 300 alleged sightings of the Lake Champlain monster known as Champ. According to an article by the New England Historical Society, cryptozoologist Nick Valenzuela estimates that number to be closer to 600. Valenzuela was recently featured in Lake Champlain Monster, an episode of the CW Network TV show Mysteries Decoded, that explores the legend of Champ that aired on August 10th. And here are some of the sightings. Which, how have we missed that show? Mm-hmm. We've got the CW app on our TV. We can check it out.
Yeah, that's how I keep up with Superman and Lois.
On July 5th, 1977, Bristol resident Sandra Mancy was trying to have a peaceful vacation day with her family. Resting on the shore of Lake Champlain, Mancy was watching her kids splash around in the water when she noticed a creature emerge from above the lake. When she noticed a creature emerge above the lake surface, according to a 2003 interview with Mancy by the Burlington Free Press. "I think I saw some kind of dinosaur that day," Mancy said. "It wasn't a fish. No fish can hold itself up 6 or 8 feet out of the water." Before the creature disappeared below the water surface, Mancy took out her Kodak Instamatic Fun Saver. And you remember those?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I used to love those. And captured possibly the most famous photographic evidence of Champ to date. Guess what?
What?
The photo is blurry. But definitely shows something serpent-like floating on the surface of the lake. The image was analyzed by the University of Arizona Optical Science Center, which confirmed that the photo had not been tampered with, but could not identify the subject captured in the photo, according to a 1981 New York Times article. Since then, others have claimed to capture the photographic evidence of Champ, including a 2005 video of a mysterious large ripples in the lake taken by Charlotte's Peter Baudet. Still, Mancy's photograph has remained one of the most intriguing and controversial arguments for the existence of Champ yet. Now, I've got the picture too, so we'll post that.
I want to see.
Let me see.
Well, I mean later.
Well, I had it. It's in a different article, but I'll show it to you in just a sec. Where was I? Champ is sometimes referred to as America's Loch Ness Monster, but its legend predates that of the Scottish serpent, according to a 2012 book by historian Robert Bartholomew. Between the 1870s and early 1930s, the most famous lake serpent in the world was the Champlain Monster. Accounts of his antics were reprinted in hundreds of newspapers across the country and around the world. The year 1873 was a particularly busy year for Champ. That August, a Burlington marble mill worker named J.P. Farmer told the Burlington Free Press he saw a marine monster while fishing in Shelburne Bay. Farmer described the monster as an animal with a brownish body, seemingly from 12 to 15 feet in length, and having a large head in shape like a bull pounce. What's that? What's a bull pounce?
I don't know.
Okay. That same year, Champ was reportedly spotted by railroad workers, the Clinton County Sheriff, and tourists aboard the steamship W.B. Eddy, who claimed they were nearly knocked overboard by the lake monster. According to a 2017 article by the Adirondacks newspaper, Sun Community News. These sightings caught the interest of P.T. Barnum, founder of the Barnum and Bailey Circus, who in August of 1873 posted a bounty of $50,000 for the hide of the Great Champlain Serpent in the New York newspaper. $50,000 in 1873? That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Okay. So, the first sightings of Champ are sometimes credited to French colonizer Samuel de Champlain, whose writings describe fish of up to 10 feet long with sharp, dangerous teeth. Bartholomew argues in his book, The Untold Story of Champ, that Champlain's descriptions were most likely of garfish and certainly were not the first recordings of serpentine monsters in the lake. Native Americans living along Lake Champlain told stories of a mysterious horned serpent that was said to reside in the lake. The Abenaki of what is now southern Quebec and northern Vermont had a name for an aquatic beast they called, I'm going to butcher this, okay? So bear with me. Gitaskugak and Gitaskog. Yak, yak, yak. And
Pizzeria.
Petascog. Okay. The Great Snake.
You're a great snake.
That was believed to reside in Batalwabok.
Batalwabok.
Okay. The Abenaki name for Lake Champlain. According to Chief Don Stevens of the Newhagen Band of, Kusuk Abenaki Nation, the creature known today as Champ was created by a giant by the name of Odzihozo. The giant created an underwater serpent, Stevens said in a 2019 video. He blew into it and it became a magical being, so that way it could patrol the waterways and report back to him and protect the lake. The existence of Champ is a hot topic of debate. Let's see here. The Middlebury College student Francis Shiner, who recently completed an internship, at the Burlington Aquarium. While at Echo, Shiner has heard theories ranging from the fantastical Champ is a 60-million-year-old prehistoric reptile to the pragmatic Champ is just a sturgeon. Sturgeon are an endangered species of the fish native to Lake Champlain that can reach 150 years of age and weigh 310 pounds. So, Shiner's view is that it doesn't really matter what Champ really is. I don't know what species Champ would be. I think it's mostly just fun, Shiner said. Part of the fun of having the Champ myth is that you get people to think more about the lake that we all live so close to. And that sort of invites you to think more about, like, how do we take care of our lake? And what's that type of fish? How do we make sure that it's safe and doesn't become endangered? So that's a good way of thinking about it. But I have another article.
That's true.
I like it. So, now, I like this article better, though. Oh, there's the photo.
Another whale penis.
It is a whale penis, except it's freshwater.
A freshwater whale
penis. A freshwater whale penis. The famous photo of the Lake Champlain monster was taken by Sandy Mancy in 1977 as her family was enjoying a picnic near the lake, as we've already talked about. Hundreds of people dating all the way back to the Abenaki Indians claim to have seen the creature. Lake Champlain is a very deep, 125-mile-long waterway that forms the border between the states of New York and Vermont. It is accessed by the sea. Oh, it is by accessed by the sea. Mm-hmm. Through the St. Lawrence Seaway.
Well,
and this entire region is thought to have been the Champlain Sea at the end of the Ice Age. So long ago. Here in the Ice Age. I think of that maybe, but it's just so long ago. The first recorded sighting of the monster took place when Samuel de Champlain came upon the lake in July of 1609. During this expedition, the French explorer noted in his journal the sighting of a 20-foot serpent with a horse-shaped head and body as thick as a keg. Some have claimed that Champlain only saw a gar pike, whose alligator snout and 6-foot length make them look like a sea monster. Since that time, sightings of a strange aquatic beast in the lake have been reported by over 600 people, and many have been documented. Dennis Hall has personally encountered the creature on several occasions and has obtained several photographs and videotaped evidence. In fact, Dennis may be the only person to have ever captured a Champ specimen. In the 1970s, Dennis discovered an unusual-looking 12-inch-long reptile in a marshy area bordering the lake.
That's what they say about me, too.
The creature looked like no other living reptile and possessed a strange forked tongue. Upon inspecting the creature, Dennis's father thought the beastie strange enough to be worthy of examination by the scientists at the University of Vermont, who indicated that it was unlike any living reptile in the catalog. So it was something they'd never seen before. Like many a cryptozoological creature, this one was somehow lost, thereby ensuring that the monster remained an enigma. Dennis Hall subsequently saw that he thought was the spitting image of the creature he once possessed in a book on prehistoric reptiles, the Tanistropheus, extinct for millions of years. Now, he's got a picture. That's what he thinks it is. And he said that's what it looks like. It looks, y'all, the Tanistropheus looks basically like a plesiosaur, just with a really long neck. So think of all the pictures you would see of the Loch Ness Monster, Nessie, how, you know, many people depict Nessie, and it's like that, but the neck is just extra long. Make sense?
Yep.
Okay. So, considerably larger and with a fairly long neck, the Tanistropheus enjoyed a semi-aquatic existence, much like Champ. Perhaps the most intriguing evidence for Champ's existence comes from underwater recordings. In 2003, a team doing research for the Discovery Channel picked up a high-pitched ticking and chirping noise like that of a dolphin or a sound that a whale makes. Obviously, these creatures would not be in fresh water many miles away from the ocean. Featured on the TV series Unsolved Mysteries, Champ has been amateur videotaped several times. Now, look at that picture that somebody caught. That's pretty neat, right? On February 22nd, oh my goodness, cute, precious, $3,300, baby. He was showing me a puppy. We're looking at puppies, y'all. Let's see. Where was I?
Sorry.
They obtained an exclusive video of something just under the surface of the lake that some say may be Champ. The video, including humps and what appears to be a long, slender neck and monster head, was taken by two fishermen with their digital camera. Before their supposed sighting, they were Champ skeptics. ABC News has since removed the original video from their website and replaced it with an unrelated, low-quality video of Lake Champlain, but it can still be seen on YouTube. In 1993, a Japanese team searched the entire lake with 15 boats and multiple helicopters. They came back with a sonar report of a very large object about 20 feet long having passed under them. More recently, Dennis Hall teamed up with Katie Elizabeth in a research initiative that they called Champ Search. They set up a hydrophone underwater system to listen to sounds in the lake. On July 31st, 2014, the monster hunters electronically captured loud, deep sounds in a region called Scotch Bonnet, providing some of the most compelling scientific evidence to date of the unknown aquatic animal. Now, I've got the recording right here, and I was listening to it, and you really have to listen to it, and I feel like it's not going to come through on the mic, but it sounds like the water, like, you know when we go diving and you can hear the water? Mm-hmm. It sounds like that, but you also hear, like, a growl, too, if that makes sense. It's, like, let me play it. Turn my phone all the way up, and maybe you can catch it.
I doubt it.
Hear it?
Yeah, it just sounds like a motor trying to
start. Like, oh, shoot.
But, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they caught, though. So that's kind of neat. Where was I?
Let's see here. I could tell some dad jokes while we're waiting.
No, I got it. Many people believe Champ to be a living plesiosaur, which, oh my God, I would die if it turned out that Champ was a plesiosaur. A freaking dinosaur. Which also would probably help prove my theory about Nessie, how there are portals underwater that these dinosaurs are swimming through.
No, it's a whale penis.
Genesis Park staff has spent many hours on Lake Champlain, both from boats on the water and from shore vantage points where Champ has purportedly been seen. Eyewitnesses were interviewed, and in some cases, local residents have had sightings, but have been hesitant to go public. Based on the first-hand investigations, we feel that this lake deserves continued research. If more people are alert, the possibility of a breakthrough photo or video becomes quite promising.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Now.
Now.
And this, I found this article.
And then?
It is off of Road Trippers, and it is written by Beth Dimon. It's a very good article, and I just wanted to give her credit because she did a wonderful job. And I'm just
credit where credit's due, girl.
Exactly. Credit where credit's due. So I'm just going to read this article to you guys because she pretty much covered everything, and there's several sightings in here that we'll go over.
Carmen Bra.
So, it's an especially sticky day in late July on Long Point, a waterfront community on the shores of Lake Champlain in northern Vermont. The usually crisp New England air is thick with thunder, but even as droplets of rain begin to fall, Sue Lackey remains unfazed. The feisty Vermonter has spent her summers vacationing here for nearly 40 years, and she's eager to talk about one thing: the day she saw Champ. Like the Loch Ness Monster, its more famous Scottish counterpart, Champ is a legendary creature that's said to live in the waters of Lake Champlain. We've gone over that. The still pretty Great Lake forms the boundary between New York and Vermont before heading north into Quebec, where it joins the St. Lawrence River and ultimately empties into the Atlantic Ocean. Lackey gestures towards the lake's increasingly choppy waters from her porch. "My husband thinks I'm crazy," she says, chuckling. "But of course, he was in the boat with me when we saw Champ." In the summer of 1981 or 1982, Lackey and her husband Steve disagree on the exact year. The newly married couple was enjoying a cruise on their boat on a hot afternoon with no waves, no wake, no wind, and no storm, according to Lackey. As they coasted near the New York shoreline, just north of Bulwaga Bay, Lackey says something silently and unexpectedly came out of the water. It wasn't a hose, it wasn't an eel, it was something that humped, she says, making a cresting wave-like gesture with her hand. It was rounded and you couldn't see under it. It came up and down into the water again, and then there were two of them, and then there were three of them. And I said to Steve, "That's Champ." He just sat there and looked at me and said, perhaps we should go home. Sounds like you. Lackey laughs and slaps the table for emphasis. I tell anybody who will listen because I know what I saw. Lackey is far from the only person who says they have spotted the mythical creature hundreds have claimed to catch a glimpse of, with sightings logged as early as the 1800s. Some folk tales go back even further, including the ultimately discredited account by Samuel Day Champlain. And we've already gone over that. Let me scroll down here. There is another origin story of Champ that dates back even further. That's what I was looking for. A Native American princess by the name of Bulwaga lived with her tribe in what is now Big Hollow, also known as Coot Hill, located near Port Henry. She had two suitors. The spurned suitor threw her from a cliff into what is now Bulwaga Bay, whereupon she drowned. Stricken with remorse and grief, the warrior picked up two large stones and threw himself into the lake. The angry fates changed him into a huge sea monster destined to call every morn for his love. The Native Americans, hearing him call out Bulwaga every dawn, eventually gave him that name. Today, a large sign near Bulwaga Bay lists sightings dating back from 1609 through 1990. The most famous evidence of Champ is the Mansi photo, which we talked about. Its authenticity remains hotly debated among the cryptozoologists and scientists, if it's a hoax or not. But she did open the floodgates for the Champ hunters and the fans with her famous picture. Reports of Champ activity have slowed down in the past few decades, but scientists have been reported as recent as this August. Katie Elizabeth, longtime Champ hunter and author of Water Horse of Lake Champlain, a cryptozoological biography of Champ, captured underwater sonar images she hopes will act as the first indisputable evidence of the fabled... What the fuck is that? What are you... That's disgusting. Ew. Why do you show me things like that?
Get you off your game.
Despite the fact that his very existence is still in question, Champ fever is raging in the areas surrounding the lake. There are car washes, sports teams, and various other businesses named after the beloved character. Champ Day is an annual parade and festival, and there's even a Champ-themed gift shop in West Addison, Vermont. Earlier this year, Michael Cashman, the town's supervisor for Plattsburgh, New York, installed a Legends and Lore marker commemorating Champ, calling him a regional icon and ambassador to the region. This follows the 1983 legislation passed by the state of New York protecting Champ from any willful act resulting in death, injury, or harassment. And I love that so much. That's so cool, right?
Mm-hmm. We should do that for sharks.
Like most people, Cashman considers Champ to be a gentle giant and a symbol of local pride and not just a silly hoax. He hopes the protections put in place will ensure the story continues to get passed and through the generations. There's a debate on the best place to look for Champ. The deepest part of Lake Champlain is between Charlotte, Vermont, and Essex, New York. Lackey thinks this is where Champ has lived for hundreds of years. I firmly believe that he lives in the trough that goes 400 feet deep between Long Point and Thompson Point, says Lackey. There's a long, narrow ridge that's the deepest part of the lake, so it would make sense. Since the southern end of the lake near Bulwaga Bay has a higher amount of reported sightings, the duo behind Home of Champ theorize that may be where he lives. But there's another place where Champ's been spotted. More than once, and more than one person has seen him. One head north to... I head north to dive a little bit deeper. Then I arrive at Rick Lauren's lakefront camp in Chazy, New York. And I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing. Located just across the border from Quebec. He has a framed and yellow newspaper clipping ready to show me. In 2004, a family renting his cabin or his camp claims to have seen a three-humped creature snag a seagull on a very calm day. I don't know one way or the other, he says with a smile, calling himself a skeptic who wants to believe. Lauren has never witnessed Champ himself, but thinks that the shallower waters between Lake Champlain's islands may account for the number of sightings near the Canadian border. Anything going by the reef has to go over, so that's why this place is probably so visible, he says. Lauren lists a half dozen friends and family, credible people, who've caught a glimpse of Champ over the years. One is his Aunt Betty, who happens to live next door. Her sighting also took place in the early 1980s. One morning before work, she happened to glance out of her window toward the lake and spotted what she initially thought was a tree trunk or junk someone had dumped in the water. But as she watched the large shape, it silently disappeared below the surface without leaving a single ripple. She ran outside to see what had happened to the shape, but it was nowhere to be found. "Oh my God, we saw him," exclaims Betty. "It had to be Champ. It was there and then it was gone." She and Lauren both dismiss the theory that Champ is just a big fish and most often thought to be a sturgeon. Lauren explains, "Sturgeons are big, but boy, 40 years ago, there weren't a lot of big ones left. It's a slim possibility." Lauren's cousin Norman, who also lives in the area, claims to have spotted Champ on two different occasions, also in the early 1980s. "I've lived here all my life. I know there's something there, but I don't know what it is," says Norman. He shrugs and spreads his hands open. "I saw something." Visitors to Lake Champlain need not worry. Champ is said to be a benevolent monster who mostly keeps to himself. For those hoping to catch a glimpse, taking a boat to the deepest part of the lake near Split Rock is a great place to start. Landlubbers will find plenty of Champ information in Port Henry, New York, the creature's unofficial hometown. The Lake Champlain Maritime Museum in, is it Virginis, Vermont?
Mm-hmm.
Has a thorough collection of lake-related history in ephemera, and the Leahy Center for Lake Champlain in Burlington, Vermont Park Museum. There's also a park aquarium, and it contains exhibits about Champ folklore. There have been numerous scientific searches for Champ over the years, including the sonar exploration and underwater sound recordings that can't quite be explained. But humans have only explored a tiny fraction of the Earth's waterways.
That's true.
Whether he's real or not seems somewhat irrelevant to most people. "I think there is a desire in all of us to believe in a thing that defies the constraints of modern life," says Miller. "And one thing is certain. There are definitely those who believe. Champ's out there," declares Lauren's Aunt Betty, "and he's a big old boy." And that's it.
Well, cool.
I love Champ so much. He sounds wonderful. Like,
Until he's hungry.
I found on Reddit, I found some accounts for Champ, and one of them I don't feel like was very truthful. So I'm not going to read that one. And the other one, like, they saw something, but they said it wasn't Champ. It was like something that was only a few feet long and it looked like a seahorse. So I don't think that was Champ either, unless it was a baby Champ. So
A baby Champ.
He's just a baby. So yes, and really it seems like a lot of people see Champ. Also, I like his name.
And yeah, that's cool.
I love how the town like embraces it, and there's a huge thing.
People also embrace the Mothman.
They do embrace Mothman.
So, I mean, you know.
Yeah, but this town, like, they've got an order out where you cannot harass Champ. You can't bother him. You can't hurt him. You can't do anything to him. All you can do is look, and they embrace it as, like, that's their town icon. Like, they love Champ, and they think of Champ as just a little benevolent gentleman. Hmm. So I thought that was really cool. But yes, I'm obsessed with Champ now. I would love to find out that he is a plesiosaur. But yeah, I still love Nessie.
You all right?
Sorry, that snuck up on me. I know, that snuck up on me. I still love Nessie, and I've, with Shark Week coming up, I would love to do an episode on the Megalodon and the new Meg movie coming out.
Yeah, Meg 2.
Meg 2. And I was going to try to get that done tonight, but there just wasn't a lot of time, and I want to, you know, Champ had a lot of stuff to just read and put out there. The Megalodon doesn't so much, so we're going to have to start back at the beginning with the Megalodon and work our way up. I want a Megalodon tooth. Divers are finding them everywhere.
I know.
Which is kind of scary. You know, like, in case y'all don't know, Troy and I are divers, and we've dove with sharks before.
Yes.
Caribbean reef sharks, we and a bull shark. And it was fascinating, y'all. And that's one of our favorite things to do is go diving.
With sharks now, it's funner.
It is more fun, diving with sharks and being able to touch them and stuff, you know? Cause yeah. I mean, you think diving with sharks and you're like, what the hell? But when you get down there, it's totally different. You're just like, I want to touch them. I must touch them, you know? So that
very first one I saw though, did make me kind of scared a little, cause he was coming straight at me and I was like, kind of whistling and moving to the side a little bit.
I got hit in the face and it knocked my mask off. One of them swam past me real fast, you guys.
Remember on the sunken ship that we were on?
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, when one of the sharks swam past me really fast, and you aren't supposed to move like your hands or your arms because they see anything flailing, they're curious. They're like puppies. They'll take a bite. Not that they want to hurt you. They just want to know what it is. So you couldn't move. And so you're sitting there and all these sharks are swarming around you. Well, one swam past me and its fin, its tail hit my face and knocked my mask off. And like, y'all freaked out. And I was like, oh my God, do it again. I was like, I just got hit in the face with a shark. Yeah, but it was very cool. And then the lady that we were with, she put one in kind of like a, it wasn't like a trance, was it? What was it?
Yeah, kind of.
It was kind of like a trance where she would get it to go upside down and we could pet the shark underwater. And it kind of scared me because the whole time they're like, don't move your hands at all. You'll get bit. And then like she does that and gives us the motion where we can pet him. And I'm like, should we move our hands?
You know? Well, the thing is, guys, is they feed these sharks daily at the very same spot. So the sharks were definitely not interested in us. They just wanted their food.
Yeah, they wanted their food. But we also got to free dive with sharks, too. They took us to a site.
The free dive is what I was talking about.
Oh, I loved it. Oh, my gosh. You know what scared me the most was the barracuda. It wasn't even the sharks. It was just seeing a barracuda, because those things are mean, aren't they?
Yeah.
I've heard they're mean, and those teeth, their teeth are like, sharks kind of hide their teeth, and barracudas just stick out there. So I think they were more terrifying to me. You. Yeah. And
they're fast.
They're very fast. And I remember they gave us, on one of our dive trips, they gave us fruit to give to the fish while we were under there. And did y'all know that some fish have teeth? Because they do. Because one fish bit me trying to get the fruit out of my hand.
That was me. I was hungry.
You were busy stealing stuff off the bottom of the ocean. You could have gotten in major trouble for that. That was fun, though. Every time I looked at him, he had something new in his hand. I was like, I didn't see him for periods of time, which is extremely dangerous. And I'd see him, and he'd have like a sand dollar in his hand, and then I'd see him again. And
I was looking for Rolexes.
And then, like, he'd have a big conch shell in his hand. Like, it was something different, and it was so funny. And that's just, if you ever want to know what gets Troy and I, that's what it is. That's our thing, is diving and being in the ocean under that water. That's our thing. So we love doing that.
Yep.
We've got so many GoPro videos of just water. But, yes. Well, speaking of,
they may be tired of hearing our story.
I know. I'm sorry. This is like talking to people and then making you look at pictures of their kids or something. Okay, y'all. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm sorry it was kind of thrown together and, you know, we just wanted to make it better for you and not bore you with the other story that we did. So next week we will have something fantastic. And if y'all have any suggestions, send us a message on Instagram at Supernatural Smut Podcast. And I will get some pictures of Champ posted as soon as we get done here. You guys stay hydrated and make good choices and have a good week.
Bye.
Bye.